Lecture 18, Reagan and the Middle East.
Today, we're going to look at the Middle East policies of President Ronald Reagan. Reagan is an extremely puzzling figure, a politician who had both astonishing weaknesses and astonishing strengths. Among the weaknesses was the fact that Reagan was often extremely ignorant about the basic issues of American politics and seemed to have little interest in becoming better informed. Nor did he care to get to know many of the people he had working for him. Once, when a delegation of black mayors was visiting the White House, Reagan walked up to Samuel Pierce, his own Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and the only black person in his cabinet, and said, "How do you do, Mr. Mayor?" And on some questions, Reagan's ignorance was downright dangerous. Reagan once said at a press conference that there was no need to worry about an accidental nuclear war, because if nuclear missiles were launched by mistake, they could always be called back in mid-flight. This wasn't true. Among Reagan's strengths, however, was an uncanny ability to connect with the American people. Through his speeches and gestures, Reagan was able to instill in his audience a powerful sense of reassurance and confidence. For this, he was known as the Great Communicator. Certainly, Reagan's background as an actor assisted him in this performative aspect of the presidency. After all, the job of the actor is to project himself onto his audience, to make you feel the range of emotions that he's called upon to express. And Reagan was a master at evoking the desired emotions in his audience. Once, when he was asked whether an acting career was suitable training for the presidency, Reagan replied that he didn't see how anyone could do the job who had not been an actor. As far as foreign policy was concerned, Reagan came to office bearing a simple message, that the Soviet Union was the sole cause of America's trouble abroad. As he said in an interview during the 1980 election campaign, "The Soviet Union underlies all the unrest that is going on. If they weren't engaged in this game of dominoes, there wouldn't be any hotspots in the world." At his first press conference as president, Reagan said that the Soviets reserved the right to commit any crime, to lie, to cheat, and that the United States would no longer tolerate such an attitude. In a famous speech in 1983, Reagan called the Soviet Union an evil empire and the focus of evil in the modern world. Reagan saw the Middle East as no exception to this rule. When he first came into office in early 1981, he professed to believe that virtually all of the world's terrorist groups, including Middle Eastern ones, were being controlled from Moscow. It was widely expected that Reagan's actions in the Middle East would be overwhelmingly focused on blocking Soviet moves. But Reagan's policies in the Middle East did not quite bear out this expectation. To be sure, many of Reagan's actions in the Middle East were directed against the Soviet Union. He embraced Israel as a strategic partner in the Cold War, willing and able to confront radical and pro-Soviet forces in the region. He sought to contain Syrian influence on the assumption that Syria was a proxy for the Soviet Union. He repeatedly skirmished with Libya's Muammar Gaddafi, a recipient of Soviet military and economic aid. Nevertheless, most of Reagan's energy in the Middle East was devoted to containing or thwarting a very different sort of foe, militant Islam, usually taking the form of radical Shiite groups drawing inspiration and material support from the new Islamic Republic of Iran. Interestingly, most of the Middle East crises Reagan faced either originated or unfolded in the little country of Lebanon. Never before or since did Lebanon occupy such a prominent place on Washington's foreign policy agenda. So Lebanon will be at the center of the events recounted in today's lecture. Reagan's problems with Lebanon really began in 1982, the year in which Israel launched a massive invasion of that country.